Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty, Kelly Center, Dima Mixon. We're all back in the Southern Bancorp studio here on a Friday afternoon, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Glad you're with us on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Don't forget about our podcast. You can hear it anytime you like on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube or Alexa or Siri will play it for you, and we're just glad you're with us however you find us. Well, it's Friday, and hey, guys, it's the start of a new season. Softball kicks off today. They've got the Black and Gold Challenge Tournament taking place here in Hattiesburg. UAB, Lipscomb, Louisiana Tech, Southeast Missouri State, and Southern Miss in town. And Dima Mixon, I'd say this is a really nice tournament to kick off the year.
No doubt. Obviously, Southern Miss softball starting off in just a couple of hours. Their first pitch is slated for about 4:30, but it could change as far as if games before that go long or whatever. But slated for 4:30, and like we've kind of documented the past several weeks, this schedule so much different than last year's, right, for the softball team.
Right.
Last year, I think they opened with Penn State, Arkansas, LSU. I mean, it's just crazy teams, and doesn't mean that any of these teams necessarily are terrible, but it's more get some confidence going if you're able to win some of these earlier games that you have chances to win and not playing big power four opponents.
Right. All right, Kelly visited with these kids last week. Hannah Christian is a young lady we want to bring an interview to you and kind of set the table for her.
She's preseason all conference, and we were talking yesterday when we were at Ramey Motors about how Matthew Russo didn't get on the team. And what's remarkable about Hannah being placed on the team is that the Eagles were picked second to last in the overall standing. So normally...
And she was the only player.
Yeah. And so normally teams that are projected to finish that low wouldn't get any love at all. But they love her across this league. And of course, what is she thinking going into the year?
Yeah, here's Hannah Christian.
Well, let's start, Hannah. First of all, congratulating you on preseason
all
conference. A lot of that, though, as you mentioned, was because of what you did last year, but still pretty cool. When did you get the news, and what was your reaction?
So I was in my organic chem class, and my dad actually texted me, and he sent me a screenshot, and I was like, no way, really? So I was just very excited, and I'm honored that I was selected, and I'm ready to get after it this year and bring more.
But the bad news is that these quote-unquote media types really didn't think much of the Eagle team overall, which I think you guys are going to use to your advantage this year. Tell me about that.
Yes, sir. We have a lot of talent all around. We have Kayla. You just talked to her, one of our pitchers. She had a really good year last year, and I expect her to bring a lot this year. But we have a very talented freshman class, too.
Okay, now you're from the Birmingham area. You went to Hoover. You were a Buccaneer, right, if I remember. So how did you and your twin sister get to Hattiesburg and take us through the discussions that you had with each other to say, yeah, we're going together and we're going to Southern Miss?
So we knew we wanted to go together, and we had some good talks with the coaches and some of the players at a camp. And we came here a few times for a visit and some camps, and we just knew that it was the home for us. It just felt right. So,
okay, tell me about your skill set. What do you like about your individual game? What are some things that have always annoyed you and that you always try to work on?
Well, I'm very competitive first, and sometimes Coach Poole has to tell me to calm down a little bit because I get really excited. I get really into it. But I've always brought a lot of consistency to the field, but anytime my game's not on, I'm always going to bring the urge to win. I want to win, so.
I always ask young women about when their sports growing up as a kid, and I always mention competitive dance, and it was real funny that your reaction was, oh, no, that would not have ended well. Tell me why competitive dance was not in your plans. Nothing against dancers.
Like I said, I'm really competitive, so I think that just wouldn't have worked out. I don't think I would have been graceful enough and, sweet enough to dance. I'm a little too mean and fiery for it, so.
You'd have bitten somebody's head off, right?
Probably.
If it didn't go well. But you also talked about, it's, and I found this interesting too, you describe yourself as athletic but not necessarily graceful, and I kind of thought they go hand in hand, but not so? Or
they do go hand in hand. I would describe myself as athletic and graceful on the field and what I do, but if you ask me to do a dance, it's reps.
Gotcha. Okay, what's the key to playing a good outfield?
The key to playing a good outfield, I'd say, is just being grounded and close to your footwork. Communication is one of the biggest things for us, and just being able to communicate, tell each other where we are on the field and calling ball, calling mind. So being a good outfielder is just really being focused. And
I know that pitchers have scouting reports on hitters. Do you guys educate us? Do you guys as outfielders know hitting tendencies of people you're playing as well? Or is that more just designed for the pitchers?
Yes, sir. Really, as a team, we're all prepared, and we know, like, should we expect the ball on this player? And we're all very prepared, and we know where we're going to play on certain players and our range and our depth and all that. So,
with these preseason expectations placed upon you as an individual, whether you wanted them or not, they're there. So how do you embrace it? How do you wear it now going into the season?
I'm very honored being announced as the preseason one of the players. But I know that I have a lot more to bring this year, and I'm not going to settle, and we're going to bring a lot this year.
What's your message to the rest of the players on your team about what other people are saying about them and what they want to be at the end of the year?
Wait, can you say that one more time?
Yeah, sure. The difference in the expectations, what's your message to the team about don't listen to other people, what they have to say, and let's go do what we're supposed to do?
I would just say this is our game, and we're locked in, and it doesn't really matter what anybody else has to say, if it's negative or anything like that, but we're ready, and we're going to bring it. So,
okay, what about after softball's over? What's the dream job, or have you thought that far ahead?
Yeah, so I'm actually a sports medicine major, and I'm looking to go to PT or OT school after I graduate, so...
So there's still some more schooling ahead for you.
Yes, sir.
Right. Now, you've got your twin sisters on this team. You guys were recruited together. How would you describe your relationship with your sister? I might say your older sister, you know, by 8 minutes.
Yeah, so we're very close. We're best friends. We shared a car for a long time until this year. We started driving separately because she's a pitcher and I'm an outfielder, so we come here at different times. But we're very close. She's my best friend. We do everything together, and she definitely makes being here special.
Do you ever argue as to which position's more important, the outfielder or the pitcher?
See, we get asked this a lot, but I think we understand the importance of how different we are. She bats righty, she's pitcher, I bat lefty, I'm an outfielder. So we understand the importance of both, and we don't really argue about that.
Has it always been that way growing
up?
Yes,
it's always been that way. We always get asked who's better, and we're always just like, we're good at different things, so...
I think that's a great answer, politically correct anyway, right? It's not going to start any fights.
Yeah.
Look, we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
And we hope that everything that is expected of you comes through, and that go out there and prove everybody wrong.
Thank you.
All right, that tournament is underway, as we said. UAB and Lipscomb playing. Louisiana Tech is in the tournament. Southeast Missouri State and, of course, Southern Miss. When are the Eagles scheduled to play, you said, Damon?
It's scheduled to be around 4:30, but once again, sometimes those tournaments run long, whether it's weather, right, whether it's right. Longer games. So scheduled around 4:30, but, you know, should be definitely off by 5.
Yes. Now, do we ever hear anything about long-range plans to perhaps move the softball complex onto the campus?
I think there was talk originally in a very long range where the intramural fields are now, kind of across – yeah. From Pete Taylor Park is where they, in a perfect world, they envisioned putting not only the softball complex, but a track and field facility as well.
Room for both of them.
But as we know how slowly things get done construction-wise, that might be for the next generation to discuss.
And what's problematic there, too?
Have y'all seen any fencing up near Reed Green Coliseum?
y'all guys be nice. A couple of years ago, I asked Jeremy about this, and he made a great point to me, though. He said he'd love to see the softball complex on the campus, but you had to leave a place for intramural kids to play, that was an important part of college, and he would be very hesitant to go overtake the intramural fields and not leave those students a place to come.
Because they are, to a degree, landlocked. Yeah. And I think, again, in a perfect world, I think Southern Miss would like to be able to just – pay the money to buy all the land all the way to 38th Avenue, if you're familiar with the geography of Hattiesburg. Likely that's not going to happen. So those are the cards that are dealt.
Yeah.
There's also some land down by the old the dormitory that right off of 49 where Married Housing used to be. I think they use it now
for kind parking.
Of yeah for parking down there, a gravel area that that might also could be used. But then you have to define what is on campus. That's what defines being on
campus.
And
David, you would agree that the intramural sports are important.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, that has to be.
When I was in college, I mean, we try to do almost every one of them, and they're very popular. There's so many of them now, so we didn't get to do all of them. But, I mean, the softball especially, that one's one of the most popular ones. Flag football, you know, there's almost, you know, so many teams. It's very competitive. Holy cow, it's competitive.
And that's an important part of college.
Part of the experience.
In another lifetime ago when my wife and I were in college here, we had intramural sports then, and we participated in them. You know, so, yeah, I understand that. All right, basketball back on the floor. One team on the road, one team at home. We'll talk about that as the Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour rolls along.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody. That first segment with the lovely Hannah Christian was sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit, which is a great place to take your family for a weekend meal and a very good place to cater your next event. If it's for your church, it's for your office, it's for your home. Kelly and I both have used Dickie's on numerous occasions for catering, never been disappointed once.
And if you want to hang out with your friends, whatever the event is, and I hear there's a big football game coming up on Sunday, I won't be watching, but nonetheless.
What about the halftime show?
I'll be watching a halftime show, but not that halftime show.
I'll be watching a halftime show, too.
But if you want to hang out with your friends, why worry about all that food and stuff? Let somebody else do it.
And it's always delicious.
And then knows exactly what they're doing.
Speaking of that, is it fair to say, And I say this from my perspective because I'm not a huge fan of either team. I don't really have an interest in either team specifically.
You're talking about the game?
The Super Bowl.
Oh.
I just not enthusiastic about it this year.
You know, you can't say that name.
The big game.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
The big game. What about you?
That I told you. I'm.
Dima, are you lukewarm on this matchup?
No, I mean, the Super Bowl to me has always been kind of just a pomp and circumstance sort of thing. And, you know, you'd have a handful of good games in there, but, you know, I don't really care.
Well, I'll tell you both this.
There is a receiver on the Seahawks, though, that I'd like to see win. But.
Yeah. Visiting with Chris Mangum, former Carolina Panther, last week, and I asked him about something I had seen on an NFL pregame show where a former player said that he always found the championship game far more exciting from a player standpoint than the Super Bowl. Chris Mangum agreed with that completely. He said you just kind of lose the atmosphere when you go to the Super Bowl.
Well, it's
there's
just
so
a,
many distractions.
Yeah, it's a circus. I mean, it takes 2 weeks worth of pomp and circumstance, in Demas' words, to actually get to the game. But in this particular case, you got one team on the East Coast, Blue State. You got another Blue State out West. I don't really care for either one of the teams.
I've always thought it would be better.
Wait, because they're a Blue State?
Yeah.
I'm partly.
Really?
Partly,
really?
Yeah. Partly that way myself. I've always thought they should just not do the 2 week thing.
Yeah.
Keep the momentum going.
I did see where the NFLPA has spoken out strongly against adding an 18th regular season game.
They said they don't need it.
No, I agree. And I rarely agree with the players.
The playoff schedule, did we cover that? The playoff schedule for college football next year? is even longer than the one this season.
It almost goes into February,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, it's a two-week break between the quarterfinal and the semifinal games.
Seriously.
Not even kidding.
Yeah, the championship for college almost is in February next year.
I think it's January 25th or something like that.
Man, there should be some reorganization here, does there not? What are they trying to challenge basketball season?
For the longest season going?
And speaking of Dima Mixon.
Why do I get always put on the spot with this? I'm like the sacrificial lamb.
All right, we got two teams in action tomorrow. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so both teams are playing in the Sun Belt MAC Challenge, as we mentioned. Southern Miss men's hosting Kent State, the Golden Flash. Whatever they want to call themselves. They're actually a pretty good basketball team, though. They're, I think they're 15-6. And then the women are headed to Toledo.
Toledo.
In Ohio. And Missy Bilderback was telling me Wednesday night when they played James Madison. I said, well, how do you get to Toledo? Do y'all get to fly into Toledo? And she said, no, we're flying into Detroit. Then we're taking a bus and driving down, and I'm just like,
oh Lord, that's just horrible. Isn't
that's
it?
Just not. That's
but the same bad. Could probably be true of Kent State. Yeah. Hattiesburg's not an easy. That's the biggest complaint you get about Hattiesburg is it's just not easy to get to.
Kelly, I asked you about this the other day because you're originally from the Midwest. Was MAC football and Sun Belt football pretty equivalent? You thought so?
Yeah, I think so.
Basketball. What's the difference in the leagues?
Actually, I think the MAC might actually be a little bit better. Just the Upper Midwest.
I think there's a lot of conferences better.
The down south, of course, nobody disputes that football is king. But up when you get above that Mason-Dixon line, when the people who came down for the War of Northern Aggression.
Right.
Who came down here.
Still can't believe we lost.
I can't either.
That's crazy.
But the football seasons up there at the high school level in particular are much shorter because the weather turns colder quicker. Basketball is much more highly regarded in the Midwest than football is.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Even though.
But the North is king of college football right now.
I was going to say, college football is different. But high school football, not very popular.
I think we'd have to say the Midwest right now is the king of college football.
Yeah. I mean, think of the last three champions all being within like literally 3 hours of each other between Indiana, Ohio State, and Michigan. That's an easy drive right in that little bubble.
All right, so the men have quite a challenge. This Kent State team's good.
Yeah, I think so. Big challenge. But, obviously the question is if Isaac Tavares is going to play tomorrow.
Right, do we think he is?
He traveled with the team. If you watched the game on Wednesday night against Marshall, he was on the bench. I believe he went through warm-ups. So I think that was what they expected him to do.
Had on a uniform?
I don't know if he was dressed, but I know he went through warm-ups and everything, which is what they expected him to do, which is why they wanted him to travel. So I would expect to see him in some capacity tomorrow at least.
Well, how big a difference will that make?
And that's the question. What kind of dynamic is that going to add to a team? And what can you reasonably expect of a guy that's been collecting dust for weeks?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think you can expect him to do what he was doing in late November, early December, but I think you can expect him to get you a nice 10, 15 points, which could go a long way. I mean, they're losing games, but they're losing them close. And, they only lost to Marshall by 4. If you could get a guy in there scoring 10, 15 points, you feel good about it. So
yeah, they pointed out on that broadcast when they played Marshall, the Marshall announcers pointed, and I didn't really realize this, that last year the Golden Eagles lost 5 games down the stretch, one possession games.
A lot of the games this year have been close.
Well, the game the other night was
against Marshall.
I think fair to say closer than maybe the final score would indicate. I mean, overall, it was just a pretty competitive basketball game.
And they're sitting now, I think, and I think we went over this yesterday on the show, they're 10th or 11th now. And if that's where they finish the regular season, that's just a death knell for
men. No, the season.
You can't win the Sun Belt tournament.
How many games would you have to win, Dima, if you finish 10th or 11th?
Is it seven? 1, 2, 3.
In a row, every day?
7 in a row.
Well, nobody's ever.
I think it's 6.
No one's ever going to do that.
No, exactly.
It's Tuesday. It would be a Tuesday through Monday scenario.
Duke couldn't do that, probably.
So these remaining home games, even though this one against Kent State doesn't count, the Sun Belt games remaining at home, even they're against the tougher teams, including Troy and South Al. You got to win those. Like I said, if you can't be in that 6 or 7 range in the seedings for the tournament, forget it. I mean, it's just...
I mean, I played basketball in high school, and I was a part of these tournaments where, you know... And, of course, we didn't have 14 teams, but... So we would have, you know, 8 teams, and it'd be double elimination. If you got put in that loser's bracket, you'd be playing game after game after game after game. And I'm telling you, it wears out your body. I mean, as much as those players were way more conditioned than we were, of course, but it wears out your body playing game after game after game
after
game.
That's a physically demanding sport, right? Because you really never stop running.
Correct. Yes, yeah. You have to be very conditioned.
Yeah. And I'm not sure I quite see the value of these quote-unquote conference challenges. And unless you're one of the top 2 or 3 conferences and you're jockeying for RPI positions and potential bubble teams, there aren't any bubble teams in the Sun Belt or the MAC, for that matter. So what really is the purpose?
You wonder if they could do something like do what they do in football and maybe, I don't know, you know, get it on campus sites, you know, and do something like the top 6 is the only people who get it.
But, I mean, Kent State, for example, coming in here, they're a 4-loss team, really, really good team record-wise. But whether they win or lose to Southern Miss is not going to help them make the NCAA tournament.
Oh, you're talking about the MAC Sun Belt Challenge?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about in Pensacola.
No.
What I was talking about in Pensacola is, like, why does all these teams have to go?
Yeah.
You know, why don't they just say only 6 can go?
And you know, some of those teams that
are probably not really helping them
are going to be 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever the seeding is. They'd probably just say, we don't deserve to go. Our body of work during the regular season doesn't
want us. If you're
not
above 500 in conference play, you shouldn't be in the tournament.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair you know, baseline.
But we also know that if Pensacola is going to put on a show, they want to try to bring people in there to recoup some of that money.
That's true.
It's always about money.
But I think it's a fair line to say, if you're not above 500 in your conference, why should you play for the conference championship?
You didn't earn it.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I heard Steve Knight on the show yesterday mention William Carey would be playing in Montgomery, and it reminded me of baseball and basketball and how much better it would be to play the baseball tournament in Pensacola where the basketball tournament is being played.
Yeah, I mean, I drove by there. I was there for New Year's, and I drove by there going to McGuire's.
It's a gorgeous stadium.
Such a beautiful stadium.
Right on the bay. It's just such a cool area, but, you know, that's not where it's going to be. So,
but that conference tournament is those first that first week in March, which will be here before you know it, obviously.
Yeah, it's like 3 weeks away. There's only 7 regular season games left.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, what we're shooting for at this point, and the good news is, on the men's side in particular, nobody is running away with it.
Yeah, they're only 3 games back, which is crazy.
Right. All right, when we come back, track and field, they're back on the road. I think they're headed back to Alabama this weekend. They just are very, very competitive. Baseball scrimmages tomorrow?
Today.
Is it today?
Yeah, 2 p.m.
Oh, yeah, that's right, today. Yeah, that's right, 2 p.m. And track and field on the road as well. Yeah. So we'll talk about baseball, track and field when we come back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, we're glad you are. This second segment of the show was sponsored by Eagle Tire West. That's where former baseball player Matt Warren and his staff sell premium Goodyear products, full service auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company. They're on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg, and we hope that you'll find an opportunity to give them a visit. DBAT sponsors this segment of the program, and that's a state-of-the-art training facility down on Hardy Street run by Luke Reynolds. And a great staff of trainers down there, adults and kids are all welcome at DBAT, and it's such a great facility. Hey, real quick, Forest Health reminds you that it's a new year, time to take care of the most important player on your team, and that is you. Make sure you get an annual physical to be sure your health is as good as it can be, and Forest Health can help you there with expert medical care close to home, foresthealth.org.
And once you get that
fortunate
good,
to have them here.
Once you get that good news that you're healthy, Bobby, go treat yourself to a big fat bowl of ice cream, something like that.
Or how about a beignet? Where would I be able to find one?
In Hattiesburg, there's only one place to find them.
Where's that?
It's on Hardy Street. It's called Moe Babinier Company. It's right across from the main entrance to the Southern Miss campus by the Rose Garden. A lot of students will go there to study because they've got hot coffees, cold coffees, open in the morning, open at night, perfect for studying. And they don't even make those beignets until you order them. That's how fresh they are. There's only one thing fresher than the beignets, and that's me. So I know when it comes about fresh.
You.
Settle for the beignets. Everybody.
Yeah, okay.
You'll enjoy the beignets.
Fair enough.
Hey, Southern Miss Track and Field back on the road. We're really proud of this group. They're headed off to Birmingham, Alabama again to compete, this time in the UAB Green and Gold Invitational, and that takes place at the Birmingham Crossplex facility. That must be a really nice place. They have a lot of track and field.
NCAA uses that facility, too. It's state of the art.
The track and field team just continues to do very, very well. And they'll head over there with 45 athletes, 22 women and 27 men. The meet consists of 26 other teams alongside Southern Miss, including Sun Belt opponents Monroe, Jackson State, and Mississippi Valley State, with some connections here to Mississippi. So look for them to do well again, man. They're just they're really on top of the game, right?
You know, and earlier this week, news out of the National Football League, you know, and I know, Bob, you're real pleased that the NFL has taken its product overseas to play in South America, Europe, wherever they can.
Now Paris.
Yes, now Paris. Paris, France has never hosted an NFL game before, and they are going to this coming fall. And the New Orleans Saints are going to be one of the teams that will play in that game. And the reason why I think that's kind of significant is my daughter lives in Paris. I have visited Paris. And when you go to the different sports bar areas, there is New Orleans Saints stuff everywhere.
Why?
I don't know why the city of Paris has embraced, maybe because of the Cajun French influence of the city of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. That would make sense, I guess. But Paris definitely has adopted New Orleans as its team. So I think this was actually, if you're going to have a game overseas, which we can argue whether we should or shouldn't, but since it's already determined, I think it's a perfect choice that New Orleans be one of those teams in Paris.
Can I say this? A couple of years ago, your daughter brought a young man from Paris back home with her, and we met him over in Laurel, and I got to tell you, Kelly, he didn't remind me of any Cajun I've ever known in my life.
No, and after he met me, he broke up pretty quick.
Coincidentally.
Yeah, course, in French, he said, they told me that if I married you, you don't marry into the family. And very shortly after he packed his bags.
Yeah, the young guy looked pretty bewildered in Jones County, Mississippi. Yes. That's for sure. All right, baseball scrimmaging, getting ready, man. We're less than a week away now, and I'm curious about something. What do you think at this point, Dima? Do you think Oz has decided who's playing where?
Oh yeah.
So the scrimmages to what? See how other guys are going to perform if you've settled on your starters.
Not this weekend. I think this weekend's a literal tune-up for next weekend. the first scrimmage is today at 2:00. I would fully expect Colby Allen to be on the mound for one of the teams today, and more than likely, one team has the entire lineup that will go out on opening day next week,
which will not be good for the other team.
Yeah, probably. Well, you'd hope so. Yeah, yeah. I would expect Colby Allen to go tomorrow, today, and then tomorrow, Graydon Harris going, if my rotation is correct.
Which
and then
is
Sunday.
What we expect to see next week on Friday and Saturday.
Yes, and then McCarty English on Sunday.
You think so?
Yes.
Bob, you had a chance to talk to Graydon Harris. What did you take away from your chat with Graydon?
One thing that jumped out at me is he said he said the biggest thing he learned last year was how different high school baseball is than Division I college baseball. And he had a massive learning curve to overcome, but he feels like he's overcome that and that this year there won't be those many surprises. And, you know, what he explained to me is he said, you know, you could throw a good pitch in high school and then maybe a couple of junk pitches, bad pitches, and get away with it. You throw a bad pitch at this level and you're going to pay. And so I think maybe the biggest thing I got out of him was a year under his belt, more self-confidence, felt more certain, if that makes a sense, felt more comfortable in his shoes at this level of baseball.
I really hope that's true because there's no explanation for it, but I've seen too many times, as we've mentioned, that sophomore – slump, you know, after having a great freshman year. And it's inexplicable. There's no reason as to why it should happen, but it seems to happen a lot.
Right.
So we certainly hope that won't be the case. And Dima, I wanted to ask you, too, what do you do with Davis Gillespie? What do you think the prognosis for him and Higdon and how that's all going to shake out?
Yeah, I think he's going to be in left field, personally.
You think Gillespie will be?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, Gillespie in left field. I assume Higdon is going to be in right. That's what he's been playing all of the scrimmages. I assume Stelly's in center. I don't think there's really any question about the lineup anymore.
Okay.
Urban steps in as the DH?
Yes, I think so. And they can, trade Urban and Gillespie for, if they need to. Mm-hmm. Really, the question is, how is Braden Maranto going to get into the lineup? I think he's a bat, I think he's a freshman, and I really think they want to find a way to get him on the field. And, of course, he plays second base primarily, so Kyle Morrison from South Alabama is going to be in that second base position to start. So I don't know how they get that bat in there. Maybe they can trade off some DHing with Urban if need be. I don't know. They have so many bats that they're just trying to find places in the lineup. But if I had to go around the horn right here, it would be, obviously Stockman at catcher, Russo at first, Morrison at second, Ty Long at shortstop, Dre Barrett at third, left field Gillespie, center Stelly, right field Higdon, and then the DH is Joey Urban.
So you feel like Seth Smith is not going to win the shortstop job?
Well, I think he's been dealing with some injury issues early in the preseason.
You think he'll play a lot this year, though? He'll be a...
If Ty Long plays well, I don't see a need for them to switch.
Yeah. Interesting. I was a little interested that you just said McCarty English as the Sunday starter.
Yeah, yeah.
Feel that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I think they're going to go with. At least to start. And, of course, these midweek games they got to start the season, it's really – they got some really big opponents. So I'm wondering if even maybe they move McCarty to a midweek role to start, and maybe on that Sunday role you might see a Thomas Crabtree or a couple other potential arms as that starter on Sunday. And then your Tuesday guy falls back to that Sunday role later.
There's
in the
an interesting name, Crabtree. This is the kid that transferred from Tennessee, a local kid, right?
Through Pearl River.
Yeah. Where do you see him breaking in here?
Yeah, he's definitely a starter capability. If I had to pencil it in right now, I would say he's your midweek guy to start. But we'll see how they do it. Really, to me, the biggest question really isn't about the starters. I think the starters are pretty in stone. It's who comes in out of the back end, right? Like, when Colby's done, who's coming in after him? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be Carl Sively? Is it going to be Camden Clark? Those are the questions that I think, to me, are more excited to be answered. Those back end pitchers, how many freshmen are they going to throw out there?
And a closer,
correct. And, of course, they want Camden Clark to be that. Josh Hawk, of course, they got him back. There's a lot of questions that I think will be answered opening weekend next weekend. But, guys, Southern Miss hasn't lost an opening weekend series in a long time. I personally can't remember the last time they lost an opening weekend series. This team that they play next week does have a chance to be the first
they're
team.
They're capable.
They're very capable. This is
here,
a very good opponent coming out of the
Pete. And Bob, we're going to be at the Pete next Friday. Now, in years past, you've had everybody except Jay-Z and Beyonce as guests on.
I haven't started working on it yet, but but I can tell you it will be co-hosted, as always, with our special guest co-host every year.
So Jay-Z and Beyonce will not be on this year's show either.
No, but we have a sexier person in Hildenson, far sexier than Beyonce.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Bad Bunny.
I thought I was going to say Bad Bunny, too.
Have you talked to Bad Bunny, Kelly? Is he nervous about that?
Well, he's kind of, mm-hmm. working on the show.
Has he picked his dress out yet?
He's working on his wardrobe as we speak. He's being colorized, so he knows what color to wear.
Nice peach,
something
like that, right?
It would never be something like peach. It would be like, Cimarron Sunset Saffron or something
did
like that.
Did you watch the Grammys the other night, Bob?
No, I did not.
You probably shouldn't.
No, I did not.
Just don't even watch the highlights then.
No, Dave, I did not. That's always going to be a really safe bet that Bob will not be watching the Grammys. All right, when we come back, there's something else going on this weekend that's fun. It's exciting. It is the Mardi Gras Parade.
The Kairos Mardi Gras Parade in Hattiesburg rolls at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
We're going to talk to Melissa Socher, is the lady behind this every year. She's next on the Eagle Hour.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I want to thank our good buddies over at Genesis of Hattiesburg for all they do for us, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are all at Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. We really appreciate all they do. All right, softball, baseball, basketball, all those things are not the only thing taking place this weekend in Hattiesburg. It is time for the Mardi Gras Parade. And so let's bring on one of my very favorite people in Hattiesburg, and I say that without reservation, Melissa Socher, who heads this thing up every year. And Melissa, everything kicks off tomorrow at 10 o'clock. The weather looks good. Kelly's actually going to be there watching the parade. So everything sounds like it's going to be a fun Saturday.
Let the good times roll in the burbs Saturday morning. We are so excited going into this 15th annual Kairos Mardi Gras Parade. Can you believe it's been 15 years?
Wow. Wow.
My goodness. It is a well-oiled wheel at this point, and we are so thankful for the folks that come out, the floats that participate, and all of the city departments. My goodness. You just never know what all goes in on the back end of these parades and all of the hard work behind them until you're in the mix. If you'll let me go over some really important details that I know folks want to hear.
Of course.
Again, the parade is this Saturday, February 7th. It starts at 10 o'clock a.m. Come early, come hungry. Loblolly Bakery, Mobay Beignets, all of those places along the parade route are hyped up and ready to feed you. Come early. We'll have race car drivers and some vintage, really cool vehicles in the parade this year besides the float. So come early and walk the kids up and down the lineup. That extra lane over there on service will be closed off to, civilian vehicles, but we will allow walkers up and down the route if you want to come and meet and greet. And see all of the floats. Important things to get out there. The parade begins at 4th Street, and it ends at 38th. So that's 4th Street right there out in front of Southern. Great place to line up with your family would be along about the Trent Lott Center where the fountain is. That's where we see a lot of strollers, handicapped individuals, and families with little kids. That's a great place to line up. But again, no throws before 4th Street on service. The parade will proceed south along service in front of USM and turn right onto Hardy Street. We'll go west all the way to 38th, which is where the Wells Fargo is. That is where the parade ends, so there will be no throws as we make that turn. So everybody just try to be along that route because we want all of these kids to just get as many throws as possible. That's why we do this. It's a family fun event. So just bring the whole family out. Other important notes, barricades will start going up to inlets and outlets off of Party Street at 5:30 a.m. So you may be redirected. So just pay attention to road signs if you're up and about that early. Hardy Street closures will start at 7:30 a.m. Hardy Street will reopen, fingers crossed, approximately 1:30 to 2 p.m. And I do believe there's a big basketball game going on at Southern about 2 p.m. So there'll be a lot of folks moving and shaking, a lot of cars traveling along those routes. So just be very mindful if you're bringing kids to the parade. The floats are really geared up this year. We've just really encouraged, just more floats, more throws. So we just expect this parade to be bigger and better than ever. We have local Scott Taylor with the Street Outlaws that was featured on Discovery Channel. He's bringing his race car. He'll be there for meet and greet before the parade. So will Little Legend Bobby Ducati. Little Bad Boy Bobby from New Orleans will be there with his street race car, and he will also be there early for meet and greet. We just want to thank the police department, traffic, fire, law, cleanup crews, USM, their security, everybody that helps out during the parade. And from our hearts at Keith Superstore, you know, we started this 15 years ago for the kids in our community. A lot of these kids otherwise would not be able to experience Mardi Gras, and that's why we brought it to Hattiesburg. So just, we know it's early this year and it's hard for folks to get up, you know, that early, but, you know, the USM, the college, events, and, like you said, the rodeo's going on right now. I know folks are trying to get up to Jackson, to the Dixie National. So a lot of things happening this time of year, and that was just the best we could do. We're just happy that we still get to do this parade.
All right.
And we'll continue to do it year after year. We'll just keep pushing on. We are also helping out with the Coca-Cola Classic USM Rodeo that goes to benefit scholarships for USM students. That is this weekend. The rodeo is tomorrow night, which is Friday night, and Saturday night. I believe it kicks off about 6:30. Tickets available at the Multipurpose Center. A lot of events, a lot of fun things going on in Hattiesburg. So come early and stay a while and enjoy everything that Hattiesburg has to offer.
All right, Melissa, you are the best. We appreciate you very much. Melissa Socher, everybody. Mardi Gras Parade tomorrow.
Looking forward to it.
That'll be a great weekend here in Hattiesburg. I hope you get out and enjoy yourself, be safe, and enjoy some time with your family. We'll be back Monday, and it will be baseball kickoff week with Oz. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.